course, all of this is raising important questions around what the Fed might do here, which earlier had signaled they were comfortable overshooting their 2% inflation target. But for more on that, I want to bring on Joseph Little, HSBC Asset Management Global Chief Strategist, joins us now. And Joseph, what's interesting, too, is Bank of America was out with this note earlier today calling for 5 rate hikes now by the end of 2023, kind of taking the point or taking the stance that, you know, inflation is not going to be transitory. And I think, you know, some people are warming up to that idea now. And that the Fed's going to be having to play catch up here. What do you make of what we saw in the report and maybe how true that might be?
Okay, thanks very much. So, look, the inflation issue is clearly an incredibly hot topic, key topic for markets and economists at this juncture. I think the report showed the continuation of the trend that we already know is playing out across a whole variety of different inflation metrics that we like to look at. Things are hotting up and picking up. Of course, a lot of that is due to strange interactions in the aftermath of COVID, mismatches between demand and supply, the restart of the economy, a big difference between what's going on in the goods sector and the services sector, and some base effects as well. A lot of those factors will sort of wash out and play through as we go through the next few months. So that transitory aspect to the story that's been played up a lot by the Fed and also by other global central banks who are observing similar phenomena around the world, that transitory element still has a way to go and I think an important part of how things play out. But what we can see coming down the pipe is that a number of other drivers are going to continue to keep US inflation somewhat elevated for a bit longer. So you end up in this slight bizarre situation where economists and central bankers are correcting their language. They're no longer talking about transient, they're talking about temporary or slightly longer than expected, elongated transient phases, because these inflation metrics are going to stay a little bit higher. If we look ahead to January, for example, I think you could see 5-6% inflation on some of the core metrics. So it's going to get a little bit dicey for the Fed. Yeah.
What are some of those drivers that you think are going to stick around a little longer?
Well, it's a combination of coming out of the COVID phase, the real economy reopening and heating back up. So a lot of the action will take place on the services side. But if we look at the activity in the housing market also and on the cars, used car side, these forces, these elements are looking like they can keep CPI and PCE inflation measures somewhat elevated. And as I say, push them up toward 5-6%. So I think we need to be sort of braced to be living with slightly longer than we'd anticipated transitory inflation. But the important point is that as we go through 2022, this will begin to play out of the system. And the critical variable to watch, just to double check that thinking is not awry, is what's going on the wage inflation side and what's going on in terms of inflation expectations. So the other piece of today's data that was interesting was the employment cost index. Mr. Greenspan's favorite indicator when he was Fed chair, very closely watched measure of wage inflation by the Fed as well. That's showing a little bit of hotting up on the wage inflation side. There's still a bit of a way to go to sort of see more concerning, deeper trends in the broad wage inflation situation. Yeah. A lot rests on what happens to productivity. And of course, inflation expectations in the market are softening a little bit as well. So the broad trend does still seem to be consistent with transient inflation, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you're right to point out wages and salaries at companies rising 1.6% in the quarter. That was also a record. But when we look at maybe how investors should be playing all this, right? That's another question. You can talk a lot about, you know, we focus so much on the U.S., but maybe backing up and looking at a global picture. I mean, what would be the right way to play maybe a continued longer lasting inflation here?
Well, so I, as I say, my scenario really is that it gets a little bit of a tricky situation moving into the early part of next year. But as we move through 2022, I think we will see many of these elements begin to drift out of the inflation measures. So I think if you look at the short end of the US yield curve, 2-year interest rates, and the interest rate expectations in the near term, there's probably quite a lot priced in now in terms of the Fed scenario. The market seems to be looking toward June already as a live date. On the basis of our research, it looks like the taper will only be complete by around then, because the Fed have been so keen to disassociate the rate liftoff decision from the taper decision. That probably looks a little bit premature. So I suspect that there's maybe a bit of uncertainty and risk premium priced into the short end of US interest rate markets, and that could begin to drift out. Broadly speaking, as we look through the year 2022 as a whole, I think the growth inflation mix looks reasonably favorable. So I think the setup is still supportive for stocks over bonds.
And Joe, really quickly, we've got the G20 countries gathering, or the leaders of G20 countries gathering this weekend. And the global economic recovery is certainly a big focus. I wonder, when you look at China, how big of a risk that presents to the global recovery. We're still talking about roughly 5% growth in the most recent quarter, but that is still well below what we saw in the previous quarter before that.
Yeah, so that's right. I think the situation in China looks really as if we're going to still see something around 8% growth for the year 2021 as a whole. As we look forward to 2022, we're thinking around 5.5% growth is possible. So these are slightly lower growth rates than we've typically seen from the Chinese economy, but it's still quite a reasonable pace of economic performance. The big development is what's going on the policy side in China. That's true across industrial Asia. But I think the evidence is increasingly pointing to fiscal monetary measures that are beginning to be deployed to support cyclical activity in China. And that should help. That's the key variable to watch, though, because you're quite right that the environment at the moment is particularly tricky for investors, with many of these supply side issues causing a bit of an inflation worry. But of course, we're at the same time looking over our other shoulder and thinking about some of these growth challenges. They haven't gone away, and we do need to continue to see agile policymaking to support a continued economic expansion at this point.
Joseph Little, HSBC Asset Management Global Chief Strategist. Appreciate you coming on here to chat with us today. Have a great weekend.